May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Ishalebu Nabaya Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Ishalebo Odiah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Ishalebo now entering the sanctuary. It's now a privilege and honor to present to you Sonny Ishalebo Yeshaya Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech is A Night to be Remembered. Turn to 1 Corinthians 11:23. First Corinthians 11:23 through 26 on page 895. It says, "For I receive from Yahshua that which I also deliver to you, that Yahshua Messiah, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take ye, this represents my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup represents the renewing of the covenant in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show Yahshua's death until he comes.'" Now the word remembrance is word 364 in Greek and comes from 363. And it means remind, to collect, to call to remembrance, to call to mind, bring to remembrance, put to remembrance, remember. Now, memorial from Merriam-Webster's dictionary.com means created or done to honor a person who has died or to remind people of an event which many people have died, serving to preserve remembrance. So 6 nights from tonight, we will be calling to our remembrance the details and events surrounding our high priest's final teaching with his disciples, his betrayal, and the brutality he suffered at the hands of the agency, and finally his death. Now in the booklet, The Blood and Body of Messiah, it says, "Yahshua committed no sin." It says, "If Yahshua Messiah had broken Yahweh's law in any way whatsoever, he could not have paid the death penalty for the sins that we have committed. He could have paid for his own sins, but Yahshua did keep the law of Yahweh perfectly. Yahshua never sinned, as we read in 2 Corinthians 5:21 on page 904, 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, For Yahweh made him who knew no sin, be a sin offering for us, that we might become the right. Wait. For Yahweh made him who knew no sin to be a sin offering for us, that we might become the righteousness of Yahweh through him." Now in verse 21, it says that Yahshua was a sin offering, so we would have an opportunity to learn and practice righteousness. Yahshua had to be without sin, perfect and blameless. he fulfilled this prophecy, and without Yahshua, we would not be here today. Pastor explains this clearly in the third book of Yishl, chapter 11, verse 90. It says, "In bring forth sinful men, there had to be a way to pay for the past sins, and Yahweh brought forth Yahshua for that purpose. Yahshua had to die instead of you dying to redeem you back to Yahweh, so you would have the opportunity to gain this knowledge and wisdom from the house of Yahweh. Then you would be presented with eternal life, which is the sealing of the saints." Now Yahshua suffered that night for our sins, and Pastor shares with us how Yahshua understood why he had to go through all of it, even to die for people who did not even exist yet. He was looking forward to ushering in Yahweh's kingdom. In the ninth book of Yishl, part 1, chapter 12, verse 158, Pastor tells us, "In Matithiah 26, I want to leave you with the thought here tonight that Yahshua knew all of this, what was going to take place. He wasn't really looking forward to it, except to get it over with, as we're looking forward to today, to get it over with and to usher in the great kingdom of Yahweh, who Yahweh, as you knew, is the only being in the universe who has a plan to stop the wickedness, the evil that we see in the world today, the sickness and disease, the sickened minds, the deformities that we're seeing in people born, today. He's the only one who has a plan, and that plan will also prevent it from ever taking place again in the whole universe. Yahshua even got to a point where he was rejoicing over what he had to do. It says in the ninth book of Yishl, part 1, chapter 12, verse 160. But Yahshua had in mind what he was going to do that night. And the last thing they did, he and his disciples, he actually sang to Yahweh in rejoicing, even looking forward to what he was going to suffer. He sang a song to Yahweh, and he and his disciples, and then they departed. So Yahshua's memorial truly is a night to be remembered. We should think about our great high priest and everything he went through. He loved Yahweh and his plan more than his own life, and willingly, unselfishly gave it to pay the price for our sins. Let's close with the overseer's parting words from Yeshua's memorial on 4/15/03. That's exactly 13 years ago from yesterday. It's found in the first book of Yishl, chapter 1, verse 86. Pastor gives us this instruction. It says, "I would like, after the prayer, for everyone to depart to your own tents and remember this night, you and Yahshua. Yahshua is with you. Pay respect to him by honoring this night in remembrance of him. You will be with him forever, very, very soon." And with this, may I bless your understanding, and I'll now turn it over to Son of Yishl Abel for prayer.
Son of Yishl Abel, Deacon Yishl David Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. We got less than a week till feast. That's not much time to get the leavening out. Not much time to get the leavening out of our houses, as well as out of our bodies, out of our lives. The leaven symbolizes sin, getting the sin out of our lives. And that's what I'd like to cover in today's sermon, because we should be taking the time to examine ourselves, the time from now up until the feast, and to examine ourselves, and even way after the feast, and remove anything that might be leavening our bodies, anything that might be hindering us from achieving the goal that we want to be achieving, which is unity. Unity in the house of Yahweh. Unity with Yahweh. So that's the whole reason that we're here, is to come into unity with one another by coming into unity with Yahweh. So a quick reminder, how do we come into unity with one another? We come into unity with one another by coming into unity with the teachings that come from the house of Yahweh. So praise Yahweh. So the first thing I want to cover is our conduct. How should our conduct be? If we'll turn over to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, on page 904, verse 17 and 18, and I'm also going to cover verse 1 of chapter 7, it says, "Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says Yahweh. Do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Now when it says, come out from among them and be separate, that's not just talking about, you know, coming out from, don't go to town, like Pastor recommends us not to go into town as much as possible. So it's not just that, but also coming out from among them through their lifestyle. Don't partake in their lifestyle. So, you know, dressing modestly, not listening to worldly music, watching movies, you know, all this entertainment that wrecks our mind. And I will receive you. Yahweh will receive you. It says, "I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters," says Yahweh Almighty. Chapter 7, verse 1 says, "Therefore, having these promises, brethren," or beloved, excuse me, "let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh," meaning cleanse your bodies, so that you'll have a healthy body and a healthy mind, "and spirit," meaning the teachings. Are we getting teachings from the world? Are we following teachings from the world? Or teachings from the house of Yahweh? "Perfecting holiness in the reverence of Yahweh." That way we can build the character of Yahweh. So if you'll read Romans chapter 6, chapter 6, 7, and 8, in fact, we should probably turn to chapter 8, it tells us that these things that come from the world bring death. You know, the carnal mind is enmity to Yahweh. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 and 7 tells us that. It says, let's start in verse 5. It says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh." Well, it's not just talking about your skin. It's talking about, you know, fleshly desires, lust, things that come from the world. But those who live according to the Spirit, and what is the Spirit? Of course, Yahweh's Spirit is His character. So we're talking about the character of Yahweh, the teachings that come from the house. Set their minds on things of the Spirit. Now, if you're here, the whole reason you're here is to have your mind on things of the Spirit. Okay, you can't be double-minded and have your mind on things of the Spirit sometimes and things of the world other times. It's, you know, it's a mess going on in your head. So then the carnal mind, to be carnally minded, is death. It brings death. You know, dying, you will die. Your body starts dying once you allow those negative influences and negative actions, if you take it that far, to enter your life. But to be spiritually minded, meaning having the character of Yahweh, is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against, bitterly opposed to Yahweh, for it is not subject to the law of Yahweh, nor indeed can be. So then those who are of the flesh, those who are interested in these lustful worldly desires, cannot please Yahweh. So you really should read all three of those chapters, Romans 6, 7, and 8, because they really go into detail on, you know, the things of the world, the carnal mind, which we're all born with, but we have to fight against through the teachings of Yahweh. That way we don't get pulled into death. So worldly influences, you know, Satan only needs a tiny little hole to get in, and you can allow her into your life through so many small, seemingly small influences that come from the world. And once you allow her in, she'll widen that hole and make it so much bigger to where she tears you all the way out of the house of Yahweh. And anyone who's been here for a while has seen that occur to so many people. So make sure that doesn't occur to you. If you're watching any kind of worldly media, worldly movies, worldly music, television, whatever it might be, playing video games, going to parties, doing drugs, I mean, there's so many things that she has that she'll put in your mind to do, and they don't help your mind. They only weaken your mind and allow Satan to come in. Remember our purpose. Why are we here? We're here to better ourselves, to go Yahweh's way, okay? To develop the spirit of Yahweh, the character of Yahweh in our minds and bodies. Anything that defiles the or destroys the mind, that tears the mind down, is going to deter us from that path of righteousness that we should be on. So it deteriorates your mind. So if you have any of these things going on, get them out. Strive to get them out. Pastor, you know, like Pastor says, you need to repent of them. How do you do that? Well, you go to your counselors. Tell them, "I have this problem. I really want to get it out." And of course you do, or else you wouldn't be here. So go to your counselors. You know, I need some help getting this out of my mind, getting this out of my body, out of my life. And ask them to help you. That way you can be the person that you should want to be, because you're here in the house of Yahweh. So, praise Yahweh. So, Strive with all your might, praise Yahweh. Strive with all your might to overcome these things, to overcome and examine ourselves, to come into unity with everyone by coming into unity with Yahweh. You know, it's bad enough that the things that we do hurt ourselves, but this is another very important point we need to remember. It's not only hurting ourselves. We have a ton of children here in the house of Yahweh. There's newcomers. And there's a lot of people that we're setting an example for. Okay? Why are we here? We're here to be teachers. Okay? We're a teacher whether we realize it or not. If you remember, Jacob chapter 3 tells us that the teachers receive a stricter judgment. That's because they're the ones that people look up to. Okay? You're here in the house of Yahweh. People look up to you. The children look up to you for guidance. Okay? The newcomers look up to us for guidance. When they see us doing negative things, well, they're like, oh, that's okay. And they might fall into that same trap. Well, what have we done? We've just taught them the way of sin. Okay? Others come, they see the negative behavior, and they're like, this is the house of Yahweh? You know, people are supposed to be perfect here. Which, of course, we're not perfect. We're striving to get the sin out. But they see these things, and it turns them away from the house of Yahweh. It gives them a negative image of the house of Yahweh, which is bad on our part. So the example that we show is extremely important because we're teachers. So you're not only affecting your own life, you're also affecting the lives of others by training them. And we're training them either in Yahweh's way or in Satan's way. We need to strive to train them in Yahweh's way. There's a sermon that I think was an extremely important sermon. It's 5:28 of 1993. It was entitled Coming into Unity with the Apostles and Prophets. And there's one thing that I really liked in that sermon that he mentioned, that Pastor mentioned. It was a scientific study, and he likened it to a bowl of water. Okay, he was talking about a bowl of water, and they dropped one drop of red dye into that bowl of water. Okay, that drop of red dye is a negative thought, or a negative influence, or a sinful desire. Okay, something sinful that you saw, an influence. Or something sinful that you portrayed to one of the newcomers or a child. Okay? So that one drop of red dye turned that whole bowl of water red. Now, in order to turn that bowl of water back clear again, it didn't just take one drop of bleach. It took 7 to 10 drops of bleach to get rid of that red dye out of the water. That's the same thing with your mind. Okay? And that's the reason he made that analogy. If you put one negative thought into your mind, or you influence someone in a negative way, it takes 7 to 10 positive thoughts, or righteous thoughts, righteous examples, opposite examples, to influence them differently and to overwrite that negativity that you put there. So let's strive not to do Satan's job, because she has plenty of negative influences out there already that we should be trying to overwrite. We all know that. So don't help Satan. Do your best to help Yahweh and be that positive, righteous example, positive, righteous influence. Praise Yahweh. So, you know, you're a teacher. All of us here are teachers. So be that teacher. Be that teacher of righteousness. Now, those of us who are authorities, you know, I hope we've been listening to pastors' certain sermons lately, you know, whether we're supervisors, authorities, teachers, because pastors have been hitting a lot on authorities lately. And, you know, what is an authority? Is it, you know, somebody who is out there ruling over people and telling them what to do, what not to do? Is that the mindset we should have? No, that's what he's been saying, is no. As an authority, our job is to be the lowest servant, to do our best to become a friend to that person instead of telling them this is how you do it. Praise Yahweh. Instead of telling them this is how you do it, show them how to do it. Remember, he said if someone makes a mistake, don't jump all over them and get all over their case. You've made mistakes before. Tell them, I made that same mistake when I was coming up. This is how I learned to solve it. This is how I learned to fix it. Praise Yahweh. You know, and if sin occurs, definitely, your job as an authority is to correct that sin and not to let it occur. I'm not saying to let sin pass. That's definitely not the problem, not the case. If sin occurs, it has to be corrected. But do it in a kind, loving manner, not beating somebody down. Praise Yahweh. Now, that takes humility. That takes a lot of humility, because the idea that the world is painted of an authority is, the guy that sits up there with the whip and the chair telling people what to do. And that's definitely not the house of Yahweh authority. Okay? Look at Pastor. Pastor will bend over backwards to do anything for anybody in the house of Yahweh. That's what an authority figure should be. Praise Yahweh. And then us as the people under the authorities. We all have pastor as our authority, and we all have authorities over us. We have to be tolerant. You know, the authorities sometimes make mistakes, but we also make mistakes. So we need to be coming into unity to help one another overcome these mistakes, you know. And we should also be sure and listen to every instruction our authority gives us. Okay? Also, coming into work on time. Pastor's been talking about keeping our vows to Yahweh. It's stealing time if you come into work late. You know, even a minute late. We need to strive our best to be on time for work as well. So the way that the world paints authorities and bosses and supervisors is backwards. That's not the attitude we need to have. We need to strive to be like Yahweh to one another. So here's something that I think we should look at. Look at it like this. You're an authority figure. Okay? We have the word authority there. Now, what do you see? There's a word inside of that word authority.
Author.
Okay? So go ahead and turn over to Yeremia chapter 31. Yeremia chapter 31 and verse 33. It says, "For this is the covenant," or it's on page 600. It says, "For this covenant is the same covenant that I will renew with the house of Israel. After those days, says Yahweh, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and their minds." Okay? "And I will be their father and they will be my people." That's Yahweh speaking there. Okay? But who are we? We're supposed to be Yahweh to one another. Yahweh is using us as the tools, the authors, who are writing his laws in their hearts and inward parts. So we need to strive to be Yahweh to one another as authority figures. Okay, and all of us are striving to become teachers. And what's a teacher? An authority figure. We should all be striving for that position and striving to do our best to serve one another with that position. That's the whole attitude, the attitude of servitude, which we should be striving for coming up towards Yahshua's memorial and Passover. So as authority figures, we're the ones assigned by Yahweh to do that writing, the laws in their hearts. So we need to make sure that what we're writing is in accordance, whether it's by our example as brothers in the house of Yahweh, our example as teachers for the children, or our example as supervisors, or whatever it might be. Make sure that we're writing what Yahweh wants us to write. Make sure that we're studying to show ourselves approved to write what Yahweh wants us to write. Praise Yahweh. So show a righteous example. Watch your conduct. Strive with all your might to get this leaven out. That way we can be perfect or in unity and striving to become perfect with Yahweh for this feast. So now we all know before the feast, especially in the weeks coming up to the feast, the stress is crazy. Okay, the stress builds. There's all kind of stuff going on. We're rushing to get jobs done. We forget to do this over here. And there's pressure. Okay? So Satan likes to use those opportunities to get in there and cause extra trouble, right? And we can let her do that, but also we don't have to let her do that. So let's strive our best to make Satan's job as hard as possible coming up to the feast. Praise Yahweh. And into this feast, let's make this feast, let's do our best to make this feast the best feast of Passover ever that we've ever had here in the house of Yahweh. So if you'll all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the great Kahan Ilya Hyler Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Of course, continuing on in the news we see around the world, of course, this week, one of our presidential candidates, which there seem to be a few, but a lot of arguing coming from such a small group of people, but one of the presidential candidates, Bernie Sanders, was invited to Rome, to the Vatican, to speak about moral economy and how to have an economy based on morals. Now, it's very important that everyone, of course, if you're in the house of Yahweh and you're studying the peaceful solution, you know that a moral is a rule, and it's a rule that's created to keep us safe from harm or danger. It brings no harm to ourselves, someone else, or the environment. But yet, the Vatican says a moral is a rule that they put forth and they enforce, and obviously they're not really concerned if it brings harm to someone as long as it makes money for them. Now, of course, they base this on the 99 versus the 1%. the 1% having more wealth than all the 99, but listen to what they say about how we need this Vatican's way of instituting rules on a global economy. And then listen to this climate changer talking about what they call these fossil fuels. Of course, they're wanting to choke these fossil fuels down. And when you do that, of course, you choke down the countries that make their money. Their economies are based on oil, which it occurs to be Muslim countries. And you can literally choke those countries down. So pay close attention, because they're not talking about basing an economy on the laws of Yahweh. And that's the only moral economy one could ever have, is based on the laws of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. And then the state of Tennessee, they were going to vote to make the Bible their state book. You know, you have a state bird, a state tree. Well, they were going to have a state book, but they voted it down and said no. So the Bible didn't make the cut in the state of Tennessee, sadly. Now, the French Prime Minister this week, he actually banned headscarves. And they say Muslim headscarves, but what they're talking about is modesty. So if you go to a university here in France, you're not allowed to dress modest, or as modest as you shall choose to do, which is appropriate for a woman to do so if she chooses. But they're saying, no, you're not allowed to do so. And then in Japan, remember Yeshua said that there would be earthquake in place after place? Japan's suffering two large earthquakes. And listen very carefully, because this was interesting. They're saying that these earthquakes, the second one was stronger than the first. Therefore, the second one is considered the initial earthquake, and that these can actually last for months afterwards. This is not just something that you get a few aftershocks. They're saying this could continue for months to come in Japan. And then in North Carolina, of course, North Carolina standing against this bathroom transgender law, and they're losing money, a lot of money. People are pulling out from the state. Certain events that were going to take place in the state, people are removing them. But listen to the argument is over what restroom a person should go to. Are you a man, or do you feel you're a man? What do you feel you are? Well, and that's what these leaders are actually arguing over, something we could put a two-year-old up there and give them the answer to. Now, this is the confusion of this world. And then Russia this week, think about this. 30 feet is maybe the third row back from this podium. Russia flew a fighter jet within 30 feet of a U.S. warship this week. Very, very close. And they flew it by over 30 times. Now, of course, Russia's trying to make a stance, and they showed a stance in Syria. The United States is trying to make a stance. And, of course, this warship was in the Baltic Sea, which is up where Russia is at in that area. Now, of course, they're both trying to make a stance, and it's a show of power. It's a show of power, and it's a push and shove. Well, the United States, of course, if you remember back when they invaded Iraq and they went in to remove Saddam Hussein and they wanted to put in a better government, well, you'll get to see how well the parliament in Iraq is running. At least the women stand aside as the men fight in the parliament. But you'll get to see what's actually taking place in that kind of rulership. And that's what Russia is saying they don't want, that the Middle East has become an area of war due to this direction. And then CBS this week, there's a special on 60 Minutes, is talking about your phone being hacked. And Scott Paley, he says in a very interesting way, he says there's two type of people in this world. One group, they know their phone is hacked. The second group, their phone is hacked, they just don't know it yet. And they show how easy it is to hack someone's phone. And it's very, very easy, where they can actually listen to you and watch you through your camera, and all they need is your phone number. That is absolutely it. And then the Zika virus, of course, they showed these deformities in the babies, but they're saying, CDC is now saying, that this virus is more, it's scarier than what they first thought. And of course, what they first thought was pretty bad in itself. And then remember these hooking up online, meeting people online, find a date, find a friend, go out, enjoy yourself. Well, one lady in Seattle, she did this. Of course, she had three children and a husband, but she divorced, and she was, of course, wanting to meet this way, go the way of the world, go do what they're doing. She met up with this man. They went to a baseball game, and then the next morning, they found her arm, leg, and head in the trash can. They haven't found the rest of her yet, but they found at least those three parts. Now, the man, they arrested him, and he's in jail under $2 million bond, and that should make you feel safe now, right? It's fixed. It's taken care of. There'll be no more of that. Until the next person goes out, they hook up online, and they get their heads cut off, their arms cut off, and their legs cut off. Remember what we're seeing in society. And then teachers in school. Of course, teachers are becoming overly frustrated with what they're seeing. And you're going to get to see a couple teachers. One teacher who it looks, you can determine for yourself, it looks like she literally knees a young disabled boy in the back. And he goes face first into the ground. And then a second teacher, and of course these are only small clips of what took place in the classroom, a second teacher literally loses control and starts beating a student in the head. And the student looks as though he's instigating, but once again, that should never take place, someone getting beat like that, someone being done that way. But put all of these things together, and I tell you this last one's very inspiring for me. I think we'll probably set something up like this. It's a parent who's finally had enough of disobedient social media, Twitter, this and that, with her children going online, do what they want to do. She literally takes the phone, and you can see for yourself what she does with it. But if you have a cell phone, and if you can't hand it over at any time to let your head or authority look at your cell phone with complete confidence, that's a sign you shouldn't have a cell phone. So keep that in mind, and if we could go ahead and play in the news. If everyone will please stand at this time, I'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Wow. Come on, good luck. Come on. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated now. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. This wonderful news ended with a kind of a bang there. I think a lot of people are getting tired of what they're seeing. The Iraqi Christians, now keep this in mind, everyone. Iraqi Christians rise up and form 100,000-man Christian army to fight against the hordes, whoever that might be. If you remember, that's what Malachi Martin said they would do. And Mary's going to make war against everyone who will not worship her. And of course, her idea in worship is to bring forth Isaiah 14 to prepare war for her children, so they won't ever live again. She doesn't want human beings alive. Latest press releases show that we're at the very top in all press releases now. That's the latest press releases. And the articles, I'll show you first day of the feast. I don't have time today. The STDs might have driven us to embrace monogamy. This is a great great article that I want to bring during the feast also. The Zika virus mutations. Now, the mutations is what I said was taking place. I said this, I think, about 30 years ago. But the mutations may explain the spread of this. Of course, what you're seeing here is a cross between humans, pigs, monkeys, and I think Yahweh has kept certain ones. Now listen to me. Please listen to me. Come on, listen to me. Y'all can talk later, can't you, when you get out of here? I won't be but a few minutes. You're going to miss something that you really need in your life if you don't listen to me. The Zika virus, it's a mutation that's been created by the world through their sexual activities, illegal sexual activities. This has now become a global epidemic, a global problem, and of course it's a cross between human beings, between pigs and monkeys, and so forth. There's no telling how many crosses there is here. But now, this is something that the scientists are now understanding, and they're now doing research to find out what we were telling them 30 years ago from the house of Yahweh. Yes, praise Yahweh. Researchers have tracked down some of the genetic mutations in the Zika virus and say they hope they can help explain why the virus seems to all of a sudden start causing birth defects. If you've got the same thing as occurring in the firmament, and surely you remember that, and I hope millions out there in the listening audience remembers the work that I showed you from the scriptures of the microorganisms and how they are being raped and mutated in the firmament. The viruses have reached into the heavens. The viruses are created by man, the sexually transmitted viruses. They're created by man by fornication, adultery, sodomy, and bestiality. That's how you create a virus. And of course, in this day and age, when sin is at its peak, you got this going on by the millions or trillions of cases every day. And of course, we're coming to the fact to where the people's bodies is like the microorganisms in heaven. The microorganisms in heaven are crosses. The microorganisms that Yahweh made to do a job and set them by law to bring you rainfall, certain breezes to keep the earth clean, to take care of the filtering of the sun rays. Yahweh made them to do their job. But Satan, in her ingenuity to get rid of mankind, has got men, women, children to breaking these laws of Yahweh, sexual laws that will be forever. And from those mutations, they have created these viruses that are reaching into the heavens. They're in the bodies of the world right now and getting stronger. They're slowly changing the human body. Now, they're doing the same thing in the heavens. They're mutating with these microorganisms that science now understands this. They didn't start their work in the firmament till we told them what to look for. And we told them from the scriptures what to look for in the firmament. And you will find this, we said. Well, now they're finding it, and the microorganisms they're finding, and they're telling us this now. They need more research, but they're on the right track. They're telling us that these microorganisms are habitating with the viruses. And they're bringing forth from rape, from crossbreeding, they're bringing forth microorganisms and viruses mixed, things that are not guided by the law to do its job in the firmament, to filter the sun, to bring rain, and so forth. They're incapable of doing the job correctly. And that's the reason you're seeing the upset weather patterns that everyone is alarmed about, like the Catholic Church and the global warming thing. You know, everyone, all the nations have see it, and they've signed up to stop this, to stop people from driving cars. You know, well, that's not the cause, and shots are not going to stop it. It's like this thing where the woman divorced her husband, got online and found her somebody new, and he went home with her and cut her to pieces. You know, she would probably not do that again, but do something equally as bad, you know, even if she was resurrected. But this is what we're seeing. You know, we're seeing some very unusual things come forth from human beings. Bernie Sanders, if you pay attention to his teaching, and, you know, he's Catholic. He also is of the 12 tribes, as he let it be known. And he's buttering up to the Pope, and the Pope is buttering up to him to get the will of the Catholic Church done. Now, I know that Bernie Sanders knows that the 12 tribes is the Catholic Church and that they're sitting on their ruling from the seven hills of Rome now, the same ones that used to rule from Jerusalem. He knows all of that. These people are not that ignorant that they can't figure this out. But they have heard the voice of the one crying in the wilderness now for a few years. So this has helped them to come to this understanding completely now. If it'll just sink into their minds what this is going to cause the world, it's not going to bring peace. It's not going to bring peace at all. Zika virus declared global emergency. That's the one I was hunting that I wanted to show you. A global emergency. It's not something that you can fool around with anymore. It's become an emergency that could wipe out human beings. It's that serious. Center for Disease Control, the biggest military operation in Brazil's history, is a Zika virus command. it's getting out of hand, and then we see it coming from the infection between, they call them gays, they're actually called sodomites in the scriptures. But did you get that? The CDC reports first Zika infection between gay couples, between sodomites. Well, from sodomy, bestiality, fornication, adultery is where this all comes from. And, of course, these are the laws that Yahshua upheld. We're very close right now to, of course, Passover. And I want you to turn over to Luke. Yahshua's memorial we're going to keep, which actually shows us in unity with Yahshua, our high priest and king, over the house of Yahweh, and that's where you should be. Your time and effort should be spent in probably the Israel Says program. I asked someone this morning to look up something on the Israel Says program, and I couldn't believe that I started teaching that 30 years ago. and of course, it's all in the Yisrael Says program. But this was about keeping your vows, your baptismal vows that you make to Yahweh. Because people are thinking now and they're saying, you know, I was baptized way back then. Should I be baptized again? Well, not necessarily baptized again, but you can if you want to. But you need to think of what the vows were that you made to Yahweh, and you need to keep those vows. There's no way to forgive a vow. If it's broken, Yahweh says it won't be forgiven. That's all there are to it. I'm not going to break my vows, and I just soon cut off a hand or something as to break one of my vows that I've made to Yahweh. It proves, when you break your vows to Yahweh, it proves that you won't keep your word to Him. So there's no way He can trust you. Your vows that you made, remember them. Try to rehearse it and keep those vows. There's no way to release a person from the vows you made. Yeshua, and that's what I want to harp on a little today, you know, by the time that boy was 12 years old, he was determined, very determined. And of course, this started long before that. We've had kings in the world that was Yahweh used at 5 years old. 5 years old. Did you get that? Yahweh made him king He uses people at that age. There's nothing that separates age, except maybe if you can't talk. You're a one-year-old and you can't talk, right? Remember how Yahweh used a one-year-old boy to name me in the Holy Scriptures? 1 year old. Need to put forth this effort now and stay out of the world. I know there's this last-minute shopping, and I'm getting to where I hate the word shopping. You know, what we're doing is shopping for Zika virus, I think. So we bring it back to the house of Yahweh and breed our mosquitoes here that do a wonderful job. Our mosquitoes here at the house of Yahweh do a great job. They do what they're supposed to do. Have you ever read the benefits of mosquitoes? And you know, every time they spray not only them, but the bees. And of course, the bees is what makes our honey. And cows make our milk. They spray the cows too. You know, they defile them too. But anyway, try to arrange where you won't be. How do you arrange where you won't get the Zika, where you won't get bit by a Zika mosquito, a Zika-carrying mosquito? How can you arrange for that? I saw an advertisement in a health magazine the other day where they're recommending that you get this netting. And they had it where it looked kind of feminine, that the woman was wearing it from that reached down to the ground. Of course, the modest women, they wear things like that already. All they'd have to do is cover their hand. You know, when my mother was, as long as I can remember, my mother wore sleeves down to her wrist. Then when she went to town, she wore gloves that came up. So there's nothing there that could be seen. She either wore a hat that came down like this on the sides, or a bonnet, and of course you'd have to get down and look under the bonnet to have ever seen her face, except when she was talking to women in town. Last minute, all that's changed, of course, in my lifetime. Changed with Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. Those were married people, but you notice she never took the name of Rogers, not ever. Her name was Evans, and she kept on to it. She was a manly type woman. Rode a horse straddle. Mother saw that and heard it, and I heard her and Dad talking about how horrifying that was. But anyway, the filth has actually taken over the earth. The filth has taken it over. And the people, you don't realize this. The scientists are beginning to realize it. And they're seeing something is wrong here, that the people are getting this. I'm supposed to show you that. We're tops in news. And this one right here is really going up rapidly. It's every 44 seconds. A new reader is reading this. Every 44 seconds, another one tunes into this. But it says, Israel Hawkins says he's taking on evil full force in new news release. He writes new article this week exposing a movie-like plot of righteousness versus evil. Only he says it's real. And it's taking place right in front of your eyes. Millions of people we're reaching millions of people in the world right now. Well, this article, I've got to read you this article, part of it here anyway. The research at the University of Hawaii at Manoa's Hawaii Microbes that defies conventional wisdom. These are microorganisms now. So everything we've heard about microorganisms, you should know. A trillion of them could be on the end of my finger and you couldn't see them. Not even one of them balled up together. Defies conventional wisdom. This This comes from much research. Have discovered an interplay. At this university, they've discovered an interplay between viruses and microbes. Cohabitation. Yes, they're habitating with each other. They're raising a crossbreed is what they're doing. It's crossbreeding. But this crossbred microorganism is not designed to do the job that Yahweh designed it to do. So what Satan is actually doing through sins of the world, she's trying to defeat what Yahweh put in motion in the beginning when he created the earth and the firmament, the heavens, and so forth. Well, this is defying, they say, this is defying the conventional wisdom. Here is seen a clear indication of viruses raping and even cohabitating with the friendly microbes, crossbreeding. The cross is no longer able to do its job in the heavens or in the bodies of mankind. You know, your eyes are made up of kingdoms of microorganisms, trillions of them. 100 trillion is nothing and when it comes to your eyes. You can't count them. Science can't even count them. They're so that many. Instead of multiplying, better living through investigation. This is the name of the article. Instead of multiplying and killing off their booming host population, more of the viruses instead integrate themselves into their host. So the viruses that we've created is actually taking over and interbreeding with the microbes that Yahweh created to govern your body, to bring seeing to your eyes, to bring speaking to your tongue, to bring your taste buds to taste food. He created microbes to do all of this. Your body functions on those teams, kingdoms of microbes. Your body functions on them, every portion of your body, because they help you to see. Well, if the viruses take over enough of these microbes in your eyes, crossbreeding with them, then you start having eye problems, and the doctors have a name for it. It's been around for years. The many different eye problems you can have to see, keep you from seeing. Ear problems too. Heart problems. Just a floating of your blood through your blood veins. All of these can cause problems when the viruses take over the microorganisms that do their job in your body. Dying, you will die, is what Yahweh said to Adam and Eve. The viruses replicate more slowly, but they also avoid competing with other viruses and having to navigate with the host on immune defense. So you see, they're understanding this now somewhat. Not totally, but they're starting to understand what they're doing to their bodies when they commit sodomy, bestiality, fornication, and adultery. That's where it's all coming from. And of course, eating the pig that I'll show you here later. Not only eating it, but that's part of the bestiality that's going on too. When you have a fast-growing host, if you're a virus, you profit more from investigation and integration. Let me start over. When you have a fast-growing host, if you're a virus, you profit more from integration, Nolis said. It's just intelligent parasitism, intelligent parasitism. Well, this one was written a few days after that one or a few days before, but they're all talking about the same thing, but put a different slant to it. The doctor's world, new crossbred, mutated crosses between humans and beast. New microbes could become the new norm. A screwed up body that can't function is what we're seeing in every baby born today. And this is what they're telling you. It's become the new norm. There's no such thing as a perfectly healthy baby born on earth today. Unless it would be in the house of Yahweh itself. And that's guided by several generations. Infections, diseases, highly fatal disease from pigs. Highly fatal pigs from pigs. Among the microbes on the horizon, the Rift Valley virus, a disease transmitted by mosquitoes that causes bleeding and encephalopathias, several other things. This virus is a highly, highly fatal disease from pigs, it says. Converse on emerging infectious diseases here this week, considering influenza, which has upset a number of dogmas in recent years, until recently, scientists believed that new strains of influenza had to mix in pigs before the disease could be transmitted to humans. Well, of course, that's not true anymore. It's already mixed. It's out here waiting on you. It's waiting to get into your body. But it does have to be mixed, but it's already mixed together now. And this is why it's so easily for a human to get it or a pig itself to get it, because they got both the man and the pig in the virus itself. The virus that is crossing with the microorganisms of which your body is made. Most countries are lacking a detailed action plan for pandemic influenza. If influenza struck today with the force of the 1918-1919 pandemic, participants at the meeting said 1.8 million Americans would die. So you see, they're getting, as they do their crossing, getting more and more of these in the universe. Trillions. I can't go high enough. I can't exaggerate this enough to make you understand, I know. But start thinking trillions, but getting up in the billions of trillions or the trillions of trillions. And you'll see what the world has done to our atmosphere and to our bodies today. Dying, you will die, as Yahweh said in the beginning. Today, here in the house of Yahweh, Yahweh has called us out to be like Yeshua Messiah, whose memorial we're going to be keeping this next week, Yahweh willing. China, Russia planning space attacks on U.S. satellites. You know, the same problem with the viruses is also in the firmament. The same problem is right here with this, with what you see right here. Why are they planning this? Why are they planning war? Why are they killing everybody, bombing everybody? Why is the man cutting the woman to pieces and trying to get rid of the body part? Why is all this taking place? Well, I just explained it to you. Confusion is what Yahweh calls it in Leviticus 18:23, and he actually names the things there in Leviticus 18:23 that the scientists are finding out right here and telling you, don't do these things. Yahweh is saying, don't do these things because they're going to defile your body. What do you mean defile it? Just what I explained to you. The microorganisms that make up your body, they're crossbred. That's defilement. They're half-breeds. They weren't designed to climb a ladder. They weren't designed to dig a hole. They weren't designed to poke a pin. They can't do that. They're no longer capable of doing what they were designed to do. These are the ones that are crossbred, and the sin is at its peak, so they're reaching more and more. Oh, shopping carts. That's the reason I wanted that article. Shopping carts. They're on toys. They're on shopping carts. They're contagious. They're on the Easter eggs, they say. They're even on the Easter eggs that they're buying and putting them out here in the grass and say, go find them eggs that the Easter bunny laid. 2-year-old positive, 2-year-old test positive for STD. There's no limit to age. Gonorrhea strain. Well, that's making world news now. The gonorrhea that I thought we had it wiped out in the 50s when I was working in the State Board of Health Laboratories. I thought penicillin was going to kill everything. And then I laughed about it later in the same lab, and I said, are you sure this is killing this? You know, I remembered the cream and the song we did. Advertising what syphilis would do, you put it, not anything on it, baking soda, salt, whatever, and pretty soon it disappeared. Well, boy, I got rid of that. Well, they thought they did, but they didn't. Penicillin didn't get rid of it either. It didn't get rid of the gonorrhea, and now the gonorrhea is bred up, crossbred, more and more. It's out. These little insects are outdoing us. Gonorrhea strain makes CDC issue urgent threat, it said. Some 820,000 cases of gonorrhea are reported in the U.S. every year. That's the ones they know about. The ones that break in the drugstores and steal the penicillin, they don't know about them. And they sell it on the market here. they have it everywhere. That they've stolen or created themselves. CDC sets threat levels for drug-resistant superbugs. Diabetes cases have quadrupled, also caused by STDs. Drug-resistant gene spread. Drug-resistant genes. Surely everyone now knows how the genes play the big part in your body. Well, drug-resistant genes spread throughout environment. Not meat products, but throughout the environment. It spread throughout the environment. How much plainer could it be? Let's see. Don't want that one. I want this one. Feast starts 4. This week. Thursday night, Yeshua's Memorial. By the way, we want to start early. I don't know if they made that announcement, but we need to and what time. Yeshua, he did his work. He was assigned to do, and you could see that from a very young age. He was doing his work. He was learning. He asked the priest questions in Jerusalem and answered the questions for them because they weren't capable of answering them. Yes, they had this going on then too, the sodomy. They'd all been like sodomy if he hadn't saved a remnant out. That a whole world would be like Sodom if he hadn't have saved a remnant. And that's what he's done here today. And that's the reason I know there's got to be protection in you or you would be out here doing the same thing. He practiced Yahweh's righteousness, and he taught it. And he said, seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. That comes first. Put it first in your life, not second or third. Put it first. How do you seek it? Well, how do you seek it? You go to the house of Yahweh, of course. Hebrews 10:21, we have a high priest over the house of Yahweh at this time. That's Yahshua Messiah, the high priest over the house of Yahweh. It wouldn't be a house of Yahweh if it didn't have a high priest. The high priest, the offices were set in the days of, or shown. They were shown in the days of Moshe. And, of course, set up the kingdom of Yahweh, set up here on earth with Jethro, a priest of Yahweh, teaching Moshe, teaching the laws. And, of course, it was given to Yisrael. And Yahweh saying, I'll fight your battles for you. You'll no longer have any diseases plaguing you. All the diseases you suffered in Egypt are going to be gone. That's what he's saying to us now. Of course, if you one time sin, dying you will die. Yes, that's how easy it is. One time. Yeshua said, go, sin no more, or worse things will come upon you. They'll get worse as you sin. You won't know it right then, but they'll start multiplying in your body, and then we have to start dealing with you, trying to keep you alive then, just to finish the tribulation with me. Yes. And we got it going on here in the house of Yahweh. This is how bad it is. We're winning. We're winning. I guarantee you that. Well, Yahshua, our high priest, in Hebrews 10:16, shows you what Yahshua is teaching, what he's doing. Hebrews 10:16, he tells you what your high priest is teaching. He's not teaching Easter bunnies. He's not teaching Christmas trees. He's not teaching eating unclean food. He's teaching the laws of Yahweh. He's teaching, don't be a part of this world. Come out from among them and be you separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. If you touch the unclean thing, you cut yourselves off from Yahweh. Yes, the Scripture plainly shows you that. In Matthew 24:14, he says, I've sent... Well, let's turn to that and read it. Matthew 24:14. We've got to get verse 30 straightened out. There's a great message hidden in that verse 30. And need to get it before the feast, David. He will send his messengers, with a great sound of a trumpet. That's what he's doing right now as high priest over the house of Yahweh. That's verse 31. They will gather together his elect. That great gathering that is spoken of right there is still growing this week. It's way, way up there. I forgot what it was, but that's the reason we're tops in the news. All of these articles are being chosen by the news medias, and of course, we're the most popular of all right now because we're bringing forth Yahweh's truth. Well, verse 14 there says, verse 11 shows the many false prophets that's taking place. He shows in verse 9 the hatred. You will be hated above all people. That's you. Yahweh proved that. That's already taken place. He brought that proof to light. And we're the most hated, but we're expected to do the biggest job that's ever been done in man's history. Among men, we're going to be the one that gathers together the greatest gathering in human history. It's going to put the one at Moshe won't hold a light to the one that we're doing right now. It's in the process, being led forward by our high priest, who was tempted in all forms of sin, just like you are right now, but he didn't give in to it. He didn't give in. He put it out of his mind. He put his mind on the work of Yahweh and told his parents, I must be about my Father's work. I must be about my Father's work. Don't try to get me out here going to see Baal's world. I've got to be about my Father's work. Then verse 11, false prophets. Verse 12, because iniquity shall abound. There's no love left in the world. Iniquity is what is crossbreeding the microbes in your body that you use even to do your thinking. And the more you get your brain screwed up with crossbred microorganisms, the more confusion comes forth. And that's the reason that they're trying to pick nuclear wars with each other. That's the reason there's 100,000 Christian soldiers in Iraq taking over the land, the wealth, the oil. Hurt not the oil. And of course, that's the reason the money, when they go the other way, that's the reason the money stops flowing to the Catholic Church. Same reason is brought in with pharmaceuticals. Because iniquity abounds. Notice it abounds. It jumps forward. It started that jump in the 40s with the invention of the television set. Yes, that was invented in my lifetime. The knowledge increase started with the same date, 1934, with my date of birth, 1934, and the nuclear bomb all started together. The nuclear bomb you see there in verse 29 all started in 1934 with the birth of the last witness, the last of the two brothers, witnesses, who Yahweh named Buffalo Bill Hawkins by a one-year-old who didn't talk for several years after that. But Yahweh said, I'm the one that did that. He actually said, he's the one that spoke through that boy. Now that shouldn't amaze you, because he also spoke through a donkey, a physical donkey, to a king, and showed the king how stupid he was. In verse 14, and this message of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. And this here was changed. I want to show you something in connection with this. I brought a copy from a commentary that this goes. This is in chapter 3 of Genesis. You can turn there with me if you want to and read this. Chapter 3. And in 1 through 5, Yahweh had showed for several years had passed when this took place. And he had the, y'all pay attention now, come on. Genesis 3, verse 22. But Yahweh had showed Adam and Eve and Abel and Cain all of these things. And of course, he had told them, don't eat of this fruit here. Don't participate in sodomy, bestiality, fornication, adultery, because you're going to put things in your body that's going to start killing your body. And I'm sure it was explained in detail to them, because he's got hints of it there. And you look it up and you find hints. I told you that honey and butter last week, I made the statement that honey and butter actually meant laws and prophecies, but and secrets. It means a lot of things. But and somebody asked me, called me and said, I looked that up in Strong's. I said, you won't find it in Strong's. This is something that you got to get pretty deep into to understand it. But No, I'm not going to tell you now. But no, Strong's don't have it. You might find it in dictionaries. I'm not sure. I first noticed it in Yekiskia. And of course, Yekiskia brings it out better than anybody. But it's in several places where he refers to the honey and the butter. And it'd be great for you to study that between now and then. I don't think it's in Yisrael Says, except for last week. I don't remember bringing it out ever. But I do remember, I noticed that in the book of Yekiskia, and he was bringing it out. And of course, he showed how he referred to it symbolically. It does actually mean honey from bees, and it actually means milk from cows and goats. But it also means other things where it was hidden in the scripture, so that the wise and prudent would fall and stumble and go backwards. But this was the honey and butter that he promised to Moshe, and he was actually giving this honey and butter to the physically honey and butter. Yes, he did. He gave it to them to eat, but he also gave it to them to absorb into their brain. And I'm talking about the laws and prophecies through Moshe that he actually promised them, but he promised them a land that was actually flowing with honey and butter. If they would do this and take that land over, come and take the land, let me prepare you, then I'll lead you into this land, and you'll have a land here flowing with milk and honey, with the laws and prophecies of Yahweh. Well, of course, they didn't do their job. Yahweh did his job. He trained Yahshua out of all of this mess you see from the rebellion of deception of Eve, rebellion of Adam, rebellion of Cain, which all the world followed, down to now, to where the world is so totally screwed up with sin at its peak now. And he says, I'm going to call together a work. Now, in this time period, that's you, the house of Yahweh, and you're going to do, being hated of all nations, you're going to put this thing back together. You're going Right now, we're kind of picking up the pieces, aren't we? Praise Yahweh. Well, anyway, now, Genesis 3, verse 22, I guess I better read that out of the book of Yahweh, and then I'll read it out of the King James Version. But I want to show you how they admit these lies that has been put in the Holy Scriptures. And they do this quite frequently, and some of them actually get close to the truth when they're doing this. But Genesis 3:22 says, then Yahweh said, behold, the man has become like one who has begun to know righteousness. The King James Version, let me read you this. This is where I noticed first, or Yahweh showed me first, that something was wrong with the King James Version translation. Because if you look and remember, Genesis 1:26, Yahweh said, I'm going to make man in my likeness and in my image. Well, here in the King James Version, in verse 22, he said, now these fools have become like one of us. Seeking Yahweh. I'm going to borrow them from the orchard here. So this didn't quite make sense, does it? The King James Version said, and Yahweh said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know righteousness and evil. Well, if he had become as one like Yahweh, he would have been just exactly what Yahweh wanted and what he said he is going to make you in 1:26. Do you see that, everybody? One of us to know good and evil, it says. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So he said, I'm going to put him out of the garden now. Well, listen to what some commentators say about this verse. He says, "Behold, a man is become as one of us." On all hands, the text is allowed to be difficult. And the difficulty is increased by our translation, which is opposed to the original Hebrew. Did you get the admittal? This translation is opposed to the original Hebrew. That's what the great Kohen David Yehuda has been bringing out. And I have him just save it up. He wants me to bring it. And I said, no, you're going to bring it, David. You're going to do this up to the very end. But it's opposed to the original Hebrew, and the most authentic versions, and the most authentic versions, it's opposed to the most authentic versions also. The Hebrew has Hayah, which is the third person tense, and signifies was, not is. The Samaritan text, the Samaritan version, the Syriac and the Septuagint have the same tense. These lead us to a very different sense and indicate that there is an elapse of some words. They even left out words. In this particular version, I call it a rendition. You can't call it a translation because they deleted words. They didn't even go along with the text they got in any way. And the commentators see this. They got the text in front of them looking at it, and they see this, and this is what they say. Indicate that there is an elapse of some words which must be substituted in order to make the sense. In order to make the sense complete. A very learned man has ventured, he says, the following paraphrase, which should not be literally regarded, and his paraphrase is, "And Yahweh said, the man was like one of us in purity." You mark out that they added the words. He added the words, and he shows it here in parentheses. So Yahweh said the man was like one in purity and wisdom, is now fallen and robbed of his excellence. He has added a Hebrew word here to which means knowledge of the righteousness. By his transgression. So he robbed himself of the knowledge of righteousness, writes this man in a paraphrase of this verse, by his transgression, the knowledge of evil. He's traded it. So you can see the commentators know that something is wrong with these verses, and they voice their opinions here over and over in bringing this forward. Well, now, in Matthew 24 and verse 14, you see that the message of the kingdom, which is not what is being taught by the Catholic Church or any of the religions today, none of them are teaching the message of the kingdom. The message of the kingdom is Yahweh's righteousness. That's the message of the kingdom. They're falling way short of that message of righteousness that Yahweh said is going to be taught here in verse 14. The plan started in 1934, along with the prophecy in Daniel 12. And Daniel was allowed to actually see the two men that would bring forth this message right here that Yahshua spoke of, that would be in verse 33, this 33 and 34, this generation. this generation will not pass away until you see this done. Did you read that? Did you see that? This message of the kingdom will be preached in this time period, in this generation, in a time of hatred and wars, everything fanatic, everything distorted, everything so crazy. The people watch the news and they say, you know, it's just crazy what you see on the news taking place. The Catholics took a group of refugees. They got plans for that group of refugees. But it's all, every bit of this is in their plans, in the Vatican's plans. The Vatican is running the show, just as Yahweh said they would. This, they hold the scepter of Genesis 49. They hold it. Right now, Yeshua has qualified for that scepter, but he will not receive it until Yahweh makes his enemies his footstool. So Yahweh's plan is being fulfilled right here. And of course, before it's over, he will step in, as you can see in verse 21 and 22. And he's doing it for you, the house of Yahweh. You see that? Matthew 24, Matitya 24, verses 21 and 22, you can see he's in full control of this whole situation. If you just look at the news, you can see that this world is going to be destroyed. But if you look at the scriptures, you can see that a group is going to be protected, brethren, and that is you. That is Micaiah 4. If you look at Micaiah 3 and verse 1, found on page 705, if that'll help you, hurry. We're about out of time. If you look at chapter 4, 3 and verse 1, he said, then I said, hear now, O heads of Jacob. This is the same ones brought out of the land of Egypt, the same ones that's been running the show, persecuting the prophets, killing some of them. They murdered some of them. And here is Micaiah prophesying against them in the year 750 to 710 BY. Remember what BY means? Okay. Praise y'all. We're doing it. We're making a showing. You're going to see that during the feast. Prove it to you. Then I said, hear now, O heads of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel. You rule the house of Israel. They're the ones that Daniel showed with their army ruled the house of Israel. The Romans, they were the house of Israel. The Roman army was made up of the house of Israel. Captives that they took from everywhere. You know, the people were wanting to get away from this, but it wasn't like it is now. The people would leave. They would run rather than fight. They didn't want to fight. They wanted to be like Yahweh had taught them through Samuel, that we will do you, Yahweh will do your fighting for you. He has a way of taking care of everything, as he showed in Samuel, the 8th chapter, 7 and 8 chapter. If you'll stay away from the Easter goddess and so forth. Vespasian, after they had moved this stuff from Jerusalem to Rome, Vespasian actually dedicated this stuff to, I bet you could guess if I haven't told you, the goddess Easter. Yes, the goddess, the Easter goddess, Vespasian. He's the army that stood on the part of these people right here who rejected Yahweh's laws. The laws that Yahshua, the high priest over the house of Yahweh, stands up for and stands as a sign to the people, the Savior, that they claim they're worshiping through Jesus and Christ, which are nothing but lies, like the Easter bunny, like Christmas. Well, Christmas part of that Easter Christ law, Easter goddess, Christ goddess, Christ God and goddess. Yeah, she's two, is a homosexual and a female. She's a man and woman, half and half. That's part of the screwed up mess that Yahweh is dealing with in heaven right now. She can be male or female, whichever. We brought that out, by the way. It's in our book called Unveiling Lucifer. O heads of Jacob, you rulers of Israel, you who hate righteousness. Well, what is righteousness? Righteousness is what Yahshua tells you to seek first. Yahweh's laws, statutes, and judgments. In chapter 4 then says, but in the last days, the days of the two witnesses that Daniel saw. Daniel prophesied. He says, I even talked to these two witnesses, and I asked one of them questions concerning the end. They were on a future day teaching, he said. He knew that these two were on a future day teaching when he said, and asked the one clothed in linen, when is the end going to be? And I told him. He actually saw me teaching. Did he have the Yisrael Says program? You know, you may not need a computer to get it then, when you have your subconscious mind. And Daniel was getting bits and pieces of his subconscious mind brought to him in the visions. But in the last days, it will come to pass that the promotion, this great promotion of the house of Yahweh, will be established in a certain place. And he tells you where it is. There's no doubts about Yahweh's house. In the last days, I'm going to establish my house in the chief of the nations. And he says the people are going to flow into it. You see that? The people are actually going to flow to it. It's going to be the greatest gathering that's ever taken place before. It'll top that of Moshe and the great gathering that came out of the land of Egypt. And of course, this time now, we will have the history, the full history of what sin brings to mankind. We will have the means of showing how the body is broken down, where we can really explain it fully. You know, this could have been done before, but Yahweh has a perfect plan that will keep mankind from ever doing this sin again, ever turning to sin again. There's a lot of people that would have been converted had Yahweh allowed it, but Yahweh drove them out, and he said, no, you can't do this because you can't do it in a world of sin. That world of sin is going to fight against it. So in his kingdom, there will be no sin. We're looking for a world where righteousness is going to dwell. Sin won't. So when he makes our enemies, which were hated above all nations, were hated above all people on the face of the earth. But Yahweh is going to change that, and he's going to change it very quickly right now. There's plans to change this over, and we're going to bring forth a gathering like has never been before. But these people, we will train them thoroughly in Yahweh's laws, and we'll have plenty of help in doing so. And, of course, they'll have the inspiration of Yahweh. Yahweh could call anyone he wants to. You know, look at the Apostle Shaul. Oh, he was a murderer for this group. He was an army soldier. He killed, he robbed, he molested men and women in his crusades. And of course, Yahweh called him. And immediately, he turned totally. And actually, at the end, gave up his life for Yahshua and the righteousness of Yahweh. Well, he could do that to anyone in the world. But he says, I'm not going to have any work except what is prophesied. And in this prophesied work, you just look and I'll show you what I'm going to do. Well, read it and believe it. You're a fool if you don't believe it. That's what Yahshua said. I love you. May Yahweh bless you. And I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.